This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Holly Otterbein is here from Politico. Holly, good morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. You've been on the road. You were up in Canada, huh?
I was, yeah. I'm following Bernie Sanders to Canada to buy prescription drugs.
Buying drugs with Bernie. That'll be your book. Did he ask about cocaine like he did in those Vermont videos you uncovered? Or
No. Sadly, the idea was to, you know, buy drugs in Canada because they're cheaper.
All right, so you've been on the road with him, and you cover the debates. Were you actually at the debates?
I was not. I was covering from home.
All right. Your thoughts on so far where things stand for the entire Democrat field, and obviously you're reporting on the entire 2020 presidential race for Politico. You were at the Philly Inquirer, Philly Mag, and WHYY. You're a Philly girl through and through. So as you look at this and you think about Pennsylvania upcoming in the primary, where does the field and the race stand right now?
The race is where it's been for a while now, actually. Joe Biden is still out front. He is out front by a pretty large margin, despite all the gaffes, despite, you know, a really poor performance in the first debate and a not bad but not so great performance in the second debate. And then Bernie Sanders is behind him in most polls, and but like I said, by a pretty, you know, large margin. And then Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren are behind Bernie by a little bit. And that's kind of where things have been for a while, and I don't know if these debates are going to change much. There wasn't a massive breakout moment for somebody like in the first debate where Kamala Harris really, you know, showed her chops, showed that she could take on Joe Biden, which a lot of voters, I think, kind of translated to maybe she can take on Trump. These debates didn't really have that moment. They were kind of boring in some ways.
What about when Tulsi Gabbard went after Kamala Harris? Does that help her at all and hurt Kamala at all? Will there be any ramifications from that, you think?
So I think that was an example of the fact that now Kamala Harris is a true top-tier candidate, right? She had been, like, at the top of the polls, you know, in the top four for a while, but I think by taking on Biden, she really kind of launched herself into the top tier, and then that made her a target, and meant she kind of had to prove that she could take the hits as well. I thought that Tulsi was really impressive. You know, she's a great articulate speaker, has an interesting story, and yeah, went after her really well. I don't know if it'll show up in the polls. I don't know if Tulsi will get a bump. Maybe she will. But
because this is like make or break time for a lot of these candidates, right, Holly? If they don't,
oh my gosh, yeah.
This is it. We're at the point now where if they don't make it to the next debate, they're out. And the criteria now is you got to pull more than 1%. You've got to raise some money, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So for the next debates, the criteria goes up significantly. You have to, now you have to pull at 2%, and you have to have many more donors, individual donors. And that means, I mean, right now we have about 7 candidates that are meeting that criteria. There's like 3 or so who will probably meet it, who are fairly close to meeting it. But, you know, that's significantly less. I know that probably for a lot of viewers or voters out there, they're excited that it's narrowing, because right now there's like a clown car of candidates that they don't know.
That's a good way to put it.
It's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming, and to have 2 nights, and then some of the candidates on the stage, who, you know, there's no chance in hell they're going to win. Guys like John Delaney and Steve Bullock from Montana. I would imagine that it's got to be frustrating for the candidates that are actually in this race to have to even deal with that on the stage.
And I think it's frustrating for a lot of, you know, voters too. A lot of people want to see, for instance, Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden on the same stage, and that hasn't happened yet. I think a lot of people want to see just the top 4, period, on the same stage together, which has not happened yet, right? It's kind of strange. And I think it's, sort of put the race in a little bit of a weird place. But at the same time, you know, the reason the DNC did it the way that, you know, they did is because of the last race's accusations against them, right? I mean, they got a lot of flack for, you know, what Bernie Sanders fans perceived as putting their thumb on the scale. And so now they're just saying, no, you know, you have to meet this criteria. And then if you meet it, whoever you are, whether you're Marianne Williamson or you're Andrew Yang or you're John Delaney, you're going to be on stage.
Right. Yeah, Marianne Williamson, she was the most searched candidate after that debate the other night. That was amazing to me. In every state except for Montana, where Steve Bullock was the most searched candidate, and he's the governor of Montana. So is that people going, who the hell is the governor? Who's my governor?
Yeah, who's like, governor?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you Google Marianne? And Chelsea was the most Googled person, I think, in the second night. Yeah, I mean, somebody put it, you know, I think it was a Republican consultant, actually, said that Marianne is speaking to the Trump haters who they basically want an explanation that's deeper than, you know, policy or politics. And she kind of speaks to those voters who want that explanation that's like explaining why, in their view, you know, their neighborhood, their family even has been kind of beset by this darkness. And she's there. And, you know, I don't know exactly how many people that is, but it's clearly some amount of people. This consultant actually said something interesting, which was if other candidates kind of found a way to talk about that, maybe in like a slightly, you know, more traditional way, that might be good for them.
You mean talk more about love and less about the dark forces that are crippling America?
Yeah, what was that line of hers? It was like the dark psychic force.
It was a line I think she stole from Return of the Jedi, but I'm not 100% sure.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
let me ask you this question too, Holly. Joe Biden, obviously, is still the front runner, but it doesn't seem like he's meeting expectations at this point for a front runner. He's not hitting the ball out of the park. These debates have been lackluster for him. Is there a concern that maybe he just doesn't have the gas? And then if that's the case, then will the moderates in the Democrat Party then try to get somebody else in the race? I mean, you've heard Michelle Obama's name obviously mentioned over and over again.
Well, I don't think she's going to run. Unfortunately for a lot of Democrats who I think would love for that to happen. I think there's definitely concern that Joe Biden can't hack it. I think that that's partly why he is a weak front runner. I mean, when you look at, for instance, the number of congressional endorsements that he has, by this time Hillary Clinton had like 100. He has like 30.
Right.
Right? And we see that over and over again when it comes to like fundraising, you know, everything. It's like he's strong enough, but it's not a front runner. It's not the kind of power and juice that you would expect out of a former vice president. He performed definitely better in the second debate than he did in the first one. He didn't seem, you know, surprised and shocked that people were attacking him. He was just kind of dumbstruck in those first debates. But the second ones weren't great either. I mean, I think it was like he benefited from having a very low bar. But as the days passed, the more that I think about it, the more I think, you know, he had these moments where he was stumbling and, you know, got the wording wrong. And, you know, there was the obvious famous, you know, he didn't say text. He said, go to Joe 3030 or whatever,
right? Right. Go to Joe 303308675309. Yeah, it was very awkward.
Yeah, so you do have to just, you know, wonder what do all of these things, you know, added up together do to the electorate? Does it start to chip away at the idea that he's running on, which is that he is the best Democrat to take on Donald Trump? I think that that will probably only happen if it actually is reflected in the head-to-head polls. Because right now, he is still the person who, you know, when you poll head-to-head with Trump, he's the person who is beating him, you know, by the biggest margin. Bernie Sanders is usually beating him as well in almost every single poll, also in the battleground states that matter. But Biden's, like, ahead by a larger margin. And I think if that changes, then you might see, you know, the electability shield that he has kind of fade away. I don't think there's any concerted plan by the moderates to have someone take over his position. there's just too much disorganization. There are too many egos who want to be president. I think that that would be a very good thing for the moderates if they could consolidate and kind of throw their weight behind, you know, one or two people. But I don't think they're anywhere close to doing that, as you can see by the ridiculous amount of people that are in the race.
Yeah, well said. I agree with your analysis on that. Holly Otterbein covering this race for Politico and on the road buying drugs with Bernie. thanks, Holly. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.